Okay, so to combine a bit of Parsha and Elul as we, well, not tonight, but we start the 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Elul. So we noted yesterday that one of the mitzvahs that Moshe reiterates in this Parsha are the series of prohibitions relating to magic, to divining the future. And among those is the prohibition of Nichush, which the Gemara understands to be a prohibition against relying on omens, looking for omens, right? If such and such happens to me, then I'll have a good day. If such and such happens, I'll have a bad day. You know, whatever, you know, seeing a black cat going under a ladder, all those types of things. Taking those things seriously is what the Gemara understands as the prohibition of Nichush. Now, one of the questions that the Rishonim dealt with a bit was, while we're opposed to these types of omens and doing these activities that are lucky, when it comes Rosh Hashanah time, we do this left, right, and center, and that's based on the Gemara in Krisos, Daf Hey Amud Beis, Tav Vav Amud Aleph, notes that when David HaMelech wanted to appoint Shlomo as king, so he said, send Shlomo to be appointed by the flowing stream. And Gemara says, why? Because it was symbolic of the fact that his kingship would last a long time, would be ever flowing like the stream. And the Gemara says, why did he do this? From here we derive that simna milsehi, that doing these symbolic acts are in fact important, and in fact have some effect on the real world. And based on this, Shulchan Aruch paskens, as we all know, in Siman Tavkuf Pei Gimel and Arachayim, that on Rosh Hashanah we have carrots, which represent one thing, and we have apples and honey, which represent another thing. We do all these types of things. And at first glance, the Rishonim notes that it sounds like we're taking these omens seriously. We're even doing these things to bring about a good new year. Doesn't that run afoul of these types of prohibitions? Isn't that against Tamim Tiyah Shem Elokecha? Daven to God, and that's all you need. Why do we need these acts? So there's two basic answers that I'll mention. One is from the Meiri. The Meiri in his Chibur HaTshuva is the one who really articulates this question. He says, some people ask, how do we rely on simanim? Aren't simanim a form of nichosh, a form of relying on omens? And he says, no, chas v'shalom, chas v'chalila. He said, it's purely psychological. Simna milsehi doesn't mean that you're magically affecting the world. You eat carrots and now your year is going to be better because your enemies are going to be cut down and you add apple and honey and that's going to make your year sweet. This isn't some magic omen. It's just that psychologically, people react more to something that they can touch, they can feel. And on Rosh Hashanah, we really want to be in the right mood. As Elul comes in, we want to be in the right mood. And what we do affects us more than what we say. So in addition to simply davening, we get these symbolic items and we put them on their table and we say our Yehi Ratzon, and it makes our tefillah more real. It's me'orer es hatshuvah. It gets us thinking more about the words that we're saying and inspires us to do tshuva. And the tshuva is what will lead to a better year. So this is not an omen at all. It's not some magic. It's simply a way of getting us to have kavana. And that's why simna milsi, the same is true in the Gemara with the king. It's not that you think that the king will magically have a long reign because he was anointed next to the river. It's just that, you know, we are affected by grandeur, and this symbolic act will put everyone in the right state of mind. That's one position. The Chayadam in Chelek Bet, Chelek Gimel, they're joined in Siman Kuf Lamed Tes, suggest that no, maybe that's not true. Really, in general, right? We don't rely on omens, but certain types of things are true from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he knows that the Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha says that if you look through Tanakh, you'll see that when God would talk to the Nevi'im, he often wouldn't suffice with his message. He would ask them to do an act. And by the Bris Bein HaBesarim, he tells Avram to cut up the animals, to go through them, and God's spirit and the fire goes through the pieces as well. And you find many places in Navi where the Nevi'im are asked to do an act, or an act that acts out their Nevu'ah. And the Ramban says the reason is because words have a certain level of metaphysical power, but actions have more power. If you do something, then somehow it affects the supernal realms and it makes it more real. And therefore the Chayadim says, no, Simna Milsa is a function of that, that God wants us not just to daven, but to some way to physically show that our year is going to be sweet by dipping that apple in the honey. And for some reason that I can't explain, when you couple your tefillah, you couple the message that you want to convey to God with an action that gives it some more metaphysical oomph, and that's what Simna Milsa means. And again, that's not nichosh, this is just a way of relating to God, it's a way of strengthening our tefillah in the real world, but it's not nichosh, it's not mere psychology, but it's also not the prohibition of nichosh. So again, this prohibition against trying to divine things or bring things about through magic, while simanim in some sense seem to run against that, as the Meiri says, it may just be a way of getting us in the mood for tshuva. And according to the Chayadim, no, the beginning of the year actually has a certain power. And therefore, as we're davening, we also want to give that the power to our tefillot by acting out in some way that affects the metaphysical world. And as we enter Elul, over this two-day Rosh Chodesh, we should just realize that whether it's psychological or metaphysical, there's certain powers built into this time of year that we should take advantage of to make sure that our Elul and our new year are in fact litova.